It's time again to play Bible Trivia. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people have been getting on your nerves, they've been taking advantage of your kindness, they've been taking you for granted, they're asking you to do the things that they should be able to do themselves, and you're really upset, and you're thinking of telling them off, or something even worse, stop. Come on now, stop. You got to override your feelings, your natural inclinations for wanting to blast somebody, or as I like to say, nuke them. And you got to remember the words from the musical Les Miserables. One of the last songs has this line in it: "To love another person is to see the face of God." Now, that's what it's all about to be a Christian, isn't it? And Jesus said, "What you do to least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me." You know, love. We banter that word around so quickly, so easily. We often take a very powerful word and take away its power. But to love another person, does that mean we have to like them? No. No, not necessarily. But the more you love, the more you find it very hard to be annoyed by people. Especially if you recognize Jesus in them. They might not share your hygiene. They may not share your values. They may not share much with you at all. But nonetheless, we're called to love. You know? It's the healing power of love that will make our world inhabitable. So, if you're struggling right now with a certain person, have you prayed for that person? Have you seen that person through Jesus' eyes? That's what I mean when I talk about being a domestic mystic. Seeing people through Jesus' eyes. They're transformed. We can't change people, but we can change our attitude. Attitude is everything. Why would we change our attitude towards somebody that's getting on our nerves, that we don't particularly find attractive? Well, we change our attitude because Jesus wants us to change our attitude. In Paul's letter to Philippians chapter 2, what do we hear? Have that attitude in you that was in Christ Jesus. You know? An isolated act on our part does not really describe our character. But attitude describes very real. It's a real description of what our character is like. Have that mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. Think like Christ Jesus. Act like Christ Jesus. Forgive like Christ Jesus. Call people to life like Christ Jesus. All right. Well, today, it's time, once again, to play Bible trivia. No, don't groan. I'm not going out of my way to make you feel stupid or ignorant about Scripture. But we need to know the Bible. It's the Word of God. You know, it's not how often somebody's been through the Bible. It's how often the Bible has been through the person. So I promise you now, this will not be difficult. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. And all the questions have to do with people who found themselves in exile. For one reason or another, they were exiled. Okay? You got a piece of paper and a pencil handy? Then you can write down your answers. If you're in a situation like if in your car right now and you can't write anything down, I'll go slowly and you can come up with each one of your answers and try to remember them so that when I give the answers finally, you can say whether you got 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 correct. All set? Here we go. First question. What apostle, so already it's narrowed down to 12, what apostle was exiled to the island of Patmos? Number two, how many years were the Israelites in Egypt? All right, that's a little difficult. Here's what I'll do. If you get within 50 years of the answer, let's consider that you gave a correct answer. The question, how many years were the Israelites in Egypt? Okay. Now, since that was a little difficult question, number three is relatively easy. Who was brought down to Egypt and sold to a man named Potiphar? Who was brought down to Egypt and sold to a man named Potiphar? Come on, you should get that one. Number four. Now, this is a little tricky. See how I honestly admit stuff to you? Nonetheless, number four. What was the first instance of exile in the Bible? I repeat. What was the first instance of exile in the Bible? Okay. Number five. This should be also fairly easy for you to get, unless you're totally ignorant of the major characters, the major people in the Bible. Number five is, who did Abraham banish to the desert? So now we're going way, way, way back at the time of Abraham. Who did Abraham banish to the desert? Okay, how'd you do? How many do you think you got? How many did you even try to answer? Ready for the answers? Okay. First question was, what apostle was exiled to Patmos? And the answer, John the Evangelist, the beloved disciple. I once had the opportunity to visit the island of Patmos, and we took these steps, and we were walking down forever. And there was this little chapel where people said it was exactly where St. John the Evangelist wrote the book of Revelation. It was pretty impressive. Very small. Remember, John the Evangelist is the only one that was not martyred. They tried to martyr him, but it didn't work. So they exiled. See where the exile part comes in? They exiled him to Patmos. Okay, so I'm guessing most of you got that. The second one, remember, I'll consider it a correct answer if you got within 50 years of this date. How many years were the Israelites in Egypt? And the answer is 430 years. Were you close? Can you check this off as you answered it correctly? The third one I said, the third question was pretty easy. Who was brought down to Egypt and sold to a man named Potiphar? Not an easy word for me to pronounce, is it? Well, it was Joseph. Remember, Joseph, who became the great leader under the Pharaoh when they had the famine, who got reconciled to his brothers, who had his father and the rest of the clan come down and stay, people were treated well by the Egyptians until Joseph died and a new Pharaoh came in. But anyways, it's the famous Joseph sold into exile by his brothers who were jealous of him. Human nature is really, really can be ugly, can't it? Number four. What was the first instance of exile in the Bible? Now, before I tell you what it was, get ready, you might groan. Or maybe you were clever enough to figure this out. And this is a little tricky question. Anyways, the first instance of exile in the Bible was when Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. They were exiled from the garden. You're not going to quibble with me over the word exile, are you? And the last one you should have got fairly easily. Who did Abraham banish to the desert? Hagar and Ishmael, right? Sarah was very upset that, even though she said that Abraham could take Hagar, his wife, because at that time Sarah was barren. Then she became very jealous of Hagar and the child that Hagar bore Ishmael. Now, listen, whether we're talking about John the Baptist or the 430 years that the Israelites were in Egypt or Joseph, the great, great figure in the Bible, or Adam and Eve being driven out of the Promised Land, or Hagar and Ishmael being driven out by Abraham, the fact is that so many people in the Bible, in times in which we live today, live in exile, away from their homeland, for a variety of reasons. My point always, and when I do Bible trivia, is to try to get you to really come to appreciate the Bible, to enjoy reading it, and to make time for reading it. Okay? All right. Today's food for thought. It's a legal maxim, and it goes like this. In case of doubt, it is best to lean to the side of mercy. Wonderful idea. And that's a legal maxim. In case of doubt, it's best to lean to the side of mercy. Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for medics. Paramedics, they often get the 911 calls. They're there. Situation is tense. People could be critically ill, about to expire. Medics, they have to think quick, think on their feet, use all that wealth of information they were trained. Dear God, bless medics. They're coming as fast as they can in their vehicles. Keep them safe from harm, God. Help them to really be able to minister to a situation that's filled with fear and terror and tears and panicking people. We ask a very special blessing on medics through Christ our Lord. Amen. This was sent, this little attempt to make you smile or laugh, was sent to Reader's Digest. True story. This is pretty funny, I think. My boyfriend was working in the souvenir shop at the Canterbury Cathedral in Kent, England. One afternoon he was talking with an attendant who worked in the cathedral when they were approached by two tourists. "Are you a monk?" one of the women asked. "No," the attendant explained. "I wear this robe as part of my job, but I'm not a member of any religious order." "Then where are the monks?" asked the woman. The man replied, "Oh, there haven't been any monks here since 1415. Hearing this, the woman looked at her watch and announced to her friend, "Betty, we missed the monks." I love that. 1415. We missed the monks. Want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Just want to hear from you, okay? Send me your prayer intentions. Help me keep my hospital open by writing a check to TASH, Tash, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you use the internet, once you visit my website, I think you'll enjoy it. It's filled with a lot of good stuff. It's Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee.